You're listening to Finance for Beginners. This is the podcast that demystifies how Wall Street investment works, including all of that confusing jargon and what it all means to you. It's explained to you by veteran investor and broker, John Lemmerman. Hi, John. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Roger. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks. So my question today, I'm going to start off, I'm going to frame it a little weird, so bear with me for a moment. We watched television and advertising, and before I started recording, you and I were talking about advertising in general. One of the things that an ad does is it identifies a problem, probably exaggerates the problem, and then offers up a solution. And we see that in the medical field all the time where, you know, if you've got a hangnail, they've got a pill for it. And then they list, very quickly, list a series of really dreadful possible side effects. And you're thinking, well, I'll keep this hangnail if you don't mind. But they do this. And check with your doctor to see if this pill is right for you. Having said that, and against that framework, I have seen recently, and I'm sure many people have, advertising for a company that claims to be a fiduciary as opposed to a regular broker like yourself. And of course, the brokers that they feature in there are all in Manhattan. They all have chauffeur-driven limousines, and they all wear really fancy clothes. Now, I've known you for a while, and I've never seen your limousine or your driver. So I'm assuming that some of that is exaggerated. So can you explain, for example, the difference between the fiduciary and a traditional broker or brokerage house?
The fiduciary is supposed to be always acting in the best interests of the customer. So always putting the customer's needs at the forefront of every financial decision. And there used to be a big difference between the fiduciary and the broker, but the SEC has introduced a bunch of best interest regulation where the broker, when he's selling a product, he has to, or she has to, really put down a bunch of sound reasons as to why the particular product or the particular solution is in the best interest of the customer. So it's the whole industry is shifting away from, I'm just going to sell you the highest commission thing that I've got, to how does this really work in the best interest of the customer.
So, but pay structure is different, I'm assuming.
The pay structure is pretty much determined by who you're working for. So, for instance, when I'm dealing with a customer, I can sell products which have built-in cost, and I can explain that to the customer. I can sell managed accounts where there might be computer programs that shift the account around from time to time from one thing to another.
Okay.
That's typically on a percentage basis, usually in the 1-2% per year kind of category. I can sell products that are commissioned on a per trade incidence, so that each time 100 shares of Apple is bought, there's a specific commission traded that way. So it can be a percentage, it can be a combination of different things. The best interest type legislation, though, when I'm putting down a rationale of why product B I believe is the best choice for the customer, I also have to list the expenses. I have to list the expenses of the product, and I have to say what the expense is to the customer versus the product they're already in. Even if they're in a 401k plan, I have to explore that 401k plan and see what the expenses are in that 401k plan and say, it is in the customer's best interest to move out because either the expenses are less or he or she has more product selection, more ways, different ways to invest and diversify, but all that has to be taken into account.
So in the past, which I think, if I understood the commercial properly, they were kind of leaning more towards the way it was done as opposed to the way it is done with a standard broker or brokerage house. That in the past, you just pretty much everything was like, you know, sell them this because I need the money. Kind of thing, as opposed to today, where the customer comes first in all instances?
The customer should be coming first in all instances. And even in the past, there's, you know, some brokers worked in brokerage houses where it was all churn and burn. You know, they would call the customer up, really push a stock, and twist arms to get the customer to buy. But even if you go back to the past, the brokers who worked hard and tried to be ethical in making the customers money, that's where the long-term success is. Because trust grows over time as the situation gets better and better. In most cases, you know, given that there's not a crash or something like that.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's, yeah. I mean, there's, you have the extremes, but when you're just churning around in the middle there, that's the idea. So I suppose the viewpoint that I had, and certainly the viewpoint of the commercial that I've seen is a little on the cynical side. I'm sure that you have, as in any profession, you could have a few people who are less than scrupulous, but largely that the broker that somebody's going to talk to is probably going to put their interest first, because that's partly law and partly just because it's ethical.
It seems like regulation in my field is mostly it is to try to use a carrot and stick to make individuals moral. If people were just moral, it would be an easy system. But there's literally a lot of training where they teach you right and wrong through examples. Like, I have to do a bunch of training every year. I've got a bunch of training due this November 15th, and a lot of it is going through example after example after example and deciding what is ethical in each situation.
Gotcha.
It is interesting how it seems to me like they have decided, oh, if people are just ethical, how do we get them to be ethical?
Well, I think that pretty much answered my question. Thanks, John. I appreciate that.
All righty.
I'm Roger Humphrey, and on behalf of myself and John Lemmerman, we thank you so much for listening, and we hope you find the information really valuable. If so, please stop by Finance for Beginners for another episode. Hey, if you've got any questions, please leave them in the comments down below. I promise we will read them. The content of this podcast is for informational and educational purposes only and does not constitute financial, investment, or legal advice. The opinions expressed by the host and guests are their own and may not reflect the views of their respective organizations or employers. While we strive to provide accurate and up-to-date information, financial markets are subject to fluctuations and the information provided may become outdated or change over time. Always do your own research and consult with a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions or taking any financial actions. We may discuss products, services, or strategies, but our recommendations are not endorsements. Any potential conflicts of interest will be disclosed as applicable. We do not receive compensation for promoting any specific financial products or services. By listening to this podcast, you agree that the hosts, guests, and producers are not liable for any losses or damages resulting from your reliance on the information provided.